Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you were reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this, his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A question for you this morning. How do you define yourself? How do you define yourself? Stop and think about what you say to someone you're meeting for the first time. How do you answer some of the usual questions? What's your name? What do you do? Where are you from? How you answer those questions may tell you something about yourself, but do they define you? Perhaps more meaningful questions are those like, what's important to you? What do you hold to be true? What are your core values? Where do you get those values? You and I are shaped by many, many influences, many understandings of ourselves. As Christians, we are shaped by our belief in Christ and how He defines us, how He defines us. In this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So Jesus sees us as branches of the vine. I'm sure that's not the first thing that comes to your mind when you are asked, who am I? In John's gospel, Jesus uses seven images about himself. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. Now, it's no coincidence that he says, I am. Remember, that's how God defined himself to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God says, tell the people, I am sent you. So Jesus is identifying himself as I am. He also says to his followers, abide in me as I abide in you. We don't use that word abide very often. I don't. And yet the epistle today and the gospel are just full of abides, abide, abide, abide. Try this. Live in me as I live in you. So how do you and I live in Christ? How do we abide in him? We can learn how by looking at the metaphor of the vine. First of all, a vine has roots. This vine has its beginnings, has its roots in Judaism. We discover those roots in the Old Testament and God's relationship with his chosen people. We must never forget from whence we come. And remember that Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He is the vine. And the branches derive their life from the risen Christ. And if you and I are going to bear fruit, we must be firmly attached to the life-giving source of the vine. So roots are important to the vine. Next, the image of the vine suggests the corporate nature of the Christian community. There are no individual branches. I often hear people say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I think that translates, I don't go to church, but I'm a good person. And we know full well that there are a lot of folks who go to church but aren't good persons. But the church is the community of Christ. There is no going it alone. Where does one branch start and another leave off? They run together. They interweave and they intertwine and they encircle one another until they're nearly indistinguishable. none is freestanding. All live together, drawing from the same source, the vine of Christ Jesus. So, you and I, here, this day, this morning, we are in this life together, with Christ and with each other. There is no such thing as an isolated Christian. And the third image that comes from the vine that I want you to consider with me this morning is that of growth. Jesus makes it clear that the purpose of the vine is to grow. The idea is not just to hang on, but to bear fruit, to flower into Jesus' love wherever we are. By this, the world will know that we belong to Jesus if we have love for one another. We love because God first loved us. And part of that growth is the ever-spreading love of God in this world. And you and I both know that this is a world that needs more and more of the love of God in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is watch the evening news or read the morning paper. The theme that we hear in the Acts of the Apostles, which we hear read in church throughout this season of Easter, is the ever-spreading love of God in this world. In Acts, we have the record of the spread of the love of God through the Holy Spirit. It begins in Jerusalem on a hill outside in a tomb that is discovered empty. And it leaves Jerusalem and moves to Samaria and then to Rome and then from Rome to the outer reaches of the world. And it continually branches out. And that's what we see happening in today's lesson from Acts and the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This is an Ethiopian. This is an African. This is a eunuch who is unacceptable in Jewish law because he is a eunuch. And this unacceptable one receives the love of God through the Holy Spirit and baptism. And so the message in this portion of Acts, and indeed and throughout the Acts of the Apostles, is clear. There will be no barriers in the Christian faith. And for 2,000 years, that goal has yet to be realized. It's still a work in progress, but it is happening little by little in our lifetime. There shall be no barriers. There shall be no barriers to the love of God in Christ Jesus. So remember this, my friends. Remember this, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We, the baptized, are all branches. We are the fruit bearers. We are the sign and symbol of Christ to the world wherever we find ourselves. St. Thaddeus Church is called to be a sign that we are loved, forgiven, comforted, and blessed by Christ. We're not just to believe and receive. We're also to grow and develop. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about spirit. So let us live and serve the vine as branches flowering with good works and clinging to Jesus. Amen.
Will you please stand with me and profess your faith by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 358 of the Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God,
the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and unmade, of one being with the Father, through him all things are made.
Prayers of the people are found on your bulletin insert. Let us join through prayer with everything that lives. Let us acknowledge to God the one life we share, saying, O God, who makes us one, hear our prayer. O God, your Holy Spirit is alive in all the earth. Your spirit that moved and shaped land and sea, trees and beasts, still moves and shapes us into creation. Through Christ, we know your one Holy Spirit, for you are God of all. That all the world may know your spirit, we pray, O God, who makes us one.
Hear our prayer.
Open your world before our eyes, so that we see far and near. Show us anew what lives around us, over and behind and within. Give us the mind of Christ, O God, who makes us one.
Hear our prayer.
Bring us to one another, that we may hear and understand each other. Bring trust and sympathy between the peoples of the world. Make all the nations one household with many rooms. O God, who makes us one.
Hear our prayer.
Heal those who are sick. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. For Robbie, Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Kenny, Nicole, J.R., Jerome, Mark, Blair, Michelle, Harry, John, Kyle, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Colton, Chuck, Jimmy, Terry, Naomi, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Carolyn, Brent, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Dot, Manny, Peggy, Wendell, Ryan, Jane, Jeff,
cheer us who are guilty. Love us who are alone. Join us who are distant. call all the world to yourself. O God, who makes us one.
Hear our prayer.
Alive in the church with the Spirit of Christ, through us give your loving spirit to a world in need of comfort. Make our many gifts one offering for the world. O God, who makes us one.
Hear our prayer.
Are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces, especially for those deployed in harm's way. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially David Sherrill and Paul Wilkerson. O God, keep our minds inside your love, for we are many parts and need to be one. We beg for this unity which only your Spirit can give, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sure all of you saw the wonderful easel with the printing that I did out front, recognizing the fact that 2 weeks from today we're not going to worship here; we'll be worshiping at Grace Point. So I want to get that on your calendar and have you plan for it. I'm sure the weather will be as good then as it is now. For those of you who don't think you can make that trip, it's only an hour up Highway 58. I will be offering a Eucharist on Saturday night before, in case you don't feel that you can make the trip. But we want everyone to go. Ought to be a wonderful time. Picnic, Eucharist, lake, boats. Can't wait to see us all swimming. Yes, I can. It ought to be a good time, and we need it. So let's plan to get together. I was up there Friday night, and they don't have a piano or an organ. So if any of you are, I won't say accomplished on the guitar, but if you can pick the guitar somewhat, let me know so we can sing together. I'd like to recognize Andy, who is our guest organist for this month. He's back there at the console while Ann is away. This being the first Sunday, two things that normally happen on the first Sunday. Blood pressure checks will be offered in the Wellness Center as you head back to get a cup of coffee. And the discretionary fund for the rector's discretionary fund, the loose offering, is designated for that. There's Bob. Bob, you have an announcement? Urge you to do that. It's a wonderful ministry, and it's wonderful for us to hold up each other in prayer. So on the way out, fill out a card and call the person that you're praying for and let them know that they're being prayed for. Are there any other announcements to be made? Ascribe unto the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks. For you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light, inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of life and source of all goodness, you made all things and filled them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day. And beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise, joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven. We acclaim you and glorify your name as we sing. Acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners, freedom, to the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. We praise you, we bless you, we give thanks to you, and we pray to you, Lord our God. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with Blessed Thaddeus and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing. Amen. May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever. Amen. May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.